Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Hey, I'm really excited. We are starting our 40 Days of Prayer campaign. I think you're going to be pretty excited, too, after we talk about it a little bit more. Before we get into that too far, we have any NASCAR fans? Anybody like NASCAR? All right. Just in case you don't know what NASCAR is, that's where a bunch of men and one woman drive around the track in circles as fast as they can. My dad is a really big NASCAR fan, and a couple years ago, I took him. He's a big Dale Earnhardt fan, and I went to go get some drinks and turned around to take a picture of him watching. Here's a picture of it right here. That's a joke. That's not real. But anyway, NASCAR is where people like this feel really comfortable, and actually, people argue that NASCAR is a sport, but I would say NASCAR stands for non-athletic sport centered around rednecks. Which you've got to be careful making those jokes, because usually people that like NASCAR like guns also and shooting things. So if that's you, I'm just teasing. The reason I bring up the NASCAR illustration, though, is because it's kind of a metaphor for how we live our lives. Now, we're driving fast all the way around. We're driving in circles going, we got our schedules, we're busy, we're doing this. And it's like we're not even really getting anywhere in life. And I don't believe that that's how God wants us to live. Every year, my dad and I put together a preaching calendar, and we just prayerfully think through and talk through what are the needs represented in our church. And so we typically do a couple series that are geared around people that are new in their faith, and we do a couple series that are geared around felt needs is what we call them, so things that are people are really feeling that we need to address. We do series like that. But a couple times a year, we do something called growth series, spiritual growth series, and these are series that are really designed to help us take our next steps in our faith with Jesus, and 40 Days of Prayer is just that. It's something that's all designed around us taking our next steps in our walk with God. Because really the truth is that most of the problems in our life can be find their root in spiritual immaturity, right? A lack of spiritual growth. We don't know what to do. We don't know what decisions to make when our kids start going sideways, or when we've got some complex situation at work or in the home or whatever it is. We don't know what to do, and so we make bad decisions, and it's based off of spiritual immaturity. And so these series are based off of helping us take our next steps in becoming mature followers of Jesus. You know, I believe that it's God's will, and I think it's clear in Scripture that it's God's will for all of us to grow. He wants us to grow. You know, it doesn't do anybody any good to just stay where we're at year after year after year. And the Bible talks about how it's we can grow or we can stay spiritual infants. And I think we could probably all admit that babies are cute. We've got a picture of a beautiful baby. So can we just go, aww, right? That's precious. Do we have one more baby picture? One more? How cute is that, right? But you know what's not cute is when you get an adult that grows up but still acts like a baby. We got this picture here, right? That's not cute, right? That's hideous, right? And I think we could probably all agree that you can grow old without growing up. And we all probably know people like that in our lives. Please don't elbow them in service. Right? It's possible for us to grow old without growing up, but it's God's will for our life that we would grow spiritually mature. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, if you have your Bibles, says, yeah, that's solid. Ephesians 4:14 says, we're not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. That means that we believe whatever people say. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth and love, and to do what? Help me out. What's this last phrase? To grow up in every way into Christ. We are meant to grow up. God wants us to grow. And so before we get into really the foundation of prayer, I want to lay a framework for why we do what we do in these spiritual growth campaigns. And it makes sense if God's desire for us is to grow, it makes sense that he would show us how to do that. And so I want to go just cover four things this morning. How do we become spiritually mature people? How do we grow? Number one, if you're taking notes, is that we grow when we read God's word. We grow when we read God's word. We talk about this often at Gateway because we're so passionate about the impact and the power of the word of God in our lives. Now imagine, we believe that the word of God is like food for our soul. Now, for me, I love buffets. I'm more of a quantity over quality guy, just love a lot of food. It doesn't really matter what it is, but if it's a lot of it, I like it. But imagine if every Sunday I went to a buffet and I just gorged myself on everything that I could get my hands on, and I ate, and then I didn't eat for the rest of the week until that next Sunday buffet, and I just gorged myself and ate. How healthy would I be? Not very healthy at all. In fact, I'd be very unhealthy. It's the same thing for us, that God designs us to feed on his word on a daily basis, that we come and we gather and we highly value our corporate times of worship and celebration and the word of God, but we have got to be people that daily, on a daily basis, we're feeding on the word of God. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He said, people need more than bread for their life, right? They need Wood Ranch barbecue. And any more than that, they must feed on every word of God. That on a daily basis, it doesn't matter if it's the verse of the day, you're reading one verse. It doesn't matter if you're spending 5 minutes, you read a chapter, or you've got 30 minutes to study the word of God. Whatever it is, we read it on a daily basis. We need it. We need the word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 or 32 says, the word of grace is able to do two things. Help me out. It's able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. How many of you, just raise your hand, would love to experience all the blessings that God has for your life, right? Now, we want that. You know, the reality is that it's not like the more mature you get, the more blessings, like you unlock more blessings of God, like you just advance in the faith and it's like, unlock these blessings. But the more you immerse yourself in the word of God, the more you realize and claim the promises that he has for you. That we immerse ourselves and we understand the story of God. We understand his faithfulness and his character. And we can rely on him and trust in him. And we receive the blessings of God the more we immerse ourselves in the word of God. We've got to do it every day. We're not just hearing the word, but we're reading the word and we're applying it to our lives. Now, if you're new to the scriptures, we use this very simple acronym, SOAP. And if you're new to the scriptures, you're wondering, how do you study the word of God? It's just very simple. S stands for scripture. O stands for observation. A stands for application. And P stands for prayer. That we find a scripture. You either get on your YouVersion Bible app and you start a Bible reading plan, or at our doors, we've got Bible reading plans and bookmarks. You grab one of those. You read the scripture for the day. You observe it. What is it saying? What sticks out to me? What key words are there? Why did the original author write this to their original audience? What's going on? What sticks out to me? And then A, how do I apply this to my life? I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. So how do I apply this to my life? And then we end with prayer. We thank God for his word. We claim the promise that we read. We ask for God's help in applying this to our life. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And you do that every day, a little bit, day by day. It could be a verse of the day, one chapter, whatever it is. We apply it to our lives. We get it into our lives. You know, the statistics show us that only about 95% of what you hear do you retain. Only 95%. It means that within 72 hours, what I speak here or what my dad speaks, only within 72 hours, by Wednesday, you've already forgotten 95% of what we've heard, which is a very depressing statistic for me. But it goes to show that we can't just hear it. We've got to read it and memorize it and meditate on it and get it into our lives on a daily basis. Let me give you just a very simple action step. Would you consider studying or reading the word of God for 40 days, for the next 40 days. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, that's probably the best thing that you can possibly do. 40 days, read some aspect of scripture every single day. And I believe that if you do that, you'll experience growth and you'll see yourself claiming and believing the promises of God like never before. Number one, we grow when we read God's word. Number two, if you're taking notes, is that we grow when we develop spiritual habits. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. A leadership guru, John Maxwell, he had this to say. He said, you'll never change your life until you change something that you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine, something that you do every day, day in, day out. You grow and you develop spiritual habits. You can't say that you're a kind person if you're only kind 25% of the time. Now, that's not a habit for your life. You're not a kind person. You can't say that you're a generous person if you pull out a couple coins every Christmas season to put in the bell ringer's hands. You can't say you're a generous person if that's all you do. Right, that's not a habit of your life. You can't look at your spouse and say, I've been faithful to you 95% of the time. Right, that doesn't work. It's not a habit of your life. We're talking about developing spiritual habits. Now, we've got four probably the best spiritual habits that you can develop. And let me just talk to you. How do you develop these spiritual habits? John chapter 13, verse 17. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you what? If you practice them. If you practice them. Not just if you hear about them. Not just if you talk about them. Not just if you think about them. If you apply them to your lives. If you practice them. Now you may ask, why are we doing 40 days of prayer, not 30 days, not 50 days? Well, statistics show us that it takes 6 weeks of doing something on a daily basis for it to become a habit of your life. You do it every day for 6 weeks for it to become a habit. We know that it takes about 3 weeks just to become comfortable with some sort of discipline. It takes 6 weeks for it to really become ingrained in your life. But so often what happens is, you know, we decide that we want a habit. We want something fully formed in our life. We're living it out in our life, and so we do it, and we're trying, and then we drop the ball and say we're reading the Word of God, and then we miss a day. Well, every time we miss a day, it's like trying to roll up the yarn again. And then we read the Word, and then we miss it. And we drop the yarn. And if we want to have a habit, a fully formed habit in our life, then we have to do it every single day. And we're not talking about anything that's really complex in our lives, just something. Read the Word of God. It could be as simple as one verse. You do it every day. Don't miss a day. And it's something that will become a habit in your life, something that will help us become strong men and women of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says this. It says, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice. That's habit. To know the difference between good and evil. You know, so often we're faced with different decisions that are complex. What do I do with my kids at this season? What do I do in this situation at work? What do I do in this difficult period in my marriage? What do I do with my finances at this point? And we're faced with these tough, complex situations. And so often, if we're not rooted in the Word of God, if we're not trained by practice in what is good and what's evil, we make these bad decisions. And these bad decisions have major implications for our life and into multiple areas of our life. But Hebrews 5:14, one more time, it says, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. And that's what we want for every single one of us. You know, we're talking about developing spiritual habits, and you know, the reality is that the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is successful people are just ordinary people with extraordinary habits. They're willing to do the things that other people aren't willing to do. You know, next week is the Super Bowl, and the Patriots are about to win another Super Bowl. So if you're voting for the Eagles, it's just a little letdown. And I'll tell you why. It's the difference between Tom Brady and Nick Foles. All right, so here's Tom Brady. Sarah and I and the kids, we lived 3.8 miles away from the stadium, Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots played. We could hear the fireworks going off. We got to go to a bunch of games. We became Patriots fans. And when we were living there, there's a place for you at our church, too. The thing about Tom Brady in New England is Tom Brady is the man. Like, people love and worship Tom Brady. And there's so many people that are like, I want to be like Tom Brady. The problem with that is a lot of people want to be like Tom Brady, but they don't want to do the things that Tom Brady does to get where he's at. I read this article a while back ago. Tom Brady, He has decided that he wants to play at an elite level until he's 45 years old. No other player has ever done that, played at an elite level at his position until he's 45. And I think he'll probably get there because of his habits. When he was early on in his career, one of his teammates, Willie McGinnis, came to him and said, you know, Tom, you've got to change your habits if you want to make it the long haul. And so Tom Brady, early in his career, changed his habits, and he started doing all of these tiny little things, everything from as soon as he wakes up, he drinks 20 ounces of water, and he immediately goes into this exercise regimen, and he's got these smoothies, and he knows what types of food to eat at what times during the day and how many electrolytes he needs, and he has all of these habits in place that have enabled him to play at such a high level for such a long period of time. People said they want to be like Tom Brady, but they're not willing to do what Tom Brady does. The reality is that the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people, one more time, is that successful people are ordinary people with extraordinary habits. And it's the same for us in our spiritual habits. You want to grow in your spiritual life, then we have to have the right habits in our lives to get there. The Holy Spirit does the work. But we've got to partner with what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we do that through our spiritual disciplines that we develop. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, all good athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last, but we practice to win a prize that will last forever. You know, what we do has eternal implications. The habits that we develop, it's not just for a temporary goal, it's for something that will last forever. And so we're talking about four different spiritual habits that we're going to commit to as a church. Number one, so we're going to commit to large group worship. That's what we're doing right now, so you're one for one. So you guys can go ahead and give yourselves a applaud, way to go. We're going to commit to growing together in spiritual community, right here, large group worship. The second thing is we're going to grow by committing to small group fellowship. That's what we call growth groups, where we're going to get together in groups of about 12 and just challenge each other and encourage each other to grow. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 gives us a glimpse at what the early church looked like, and it says this. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. That's large group worship. And then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. That's small group fellowship, growth groups. They grew together in small groups, and it was powerful. So we're going to talk about large group worship, small group fellowship. We're going to talk about reading our Bibles every day for 40 days and memorizing some scriptures to get into our lives, get into our minds. And when we do those things, it'll cause us and enable us to partner with what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and to grow. Let me ask you just kind of a silly question that's very obvious, but how many of you, just by a raise of your hands, would say, I would love at the end of my life for people to say he or she was successful at what matters most? How many of you would say that? I think all of us would love that. We want to be successful at what matters most. You know, there's only one passage in Scripture that talks about how to guarantee success in our life. Would you be interested in what that verse is? Only one verse that guarantees, if you do this, you will be successful. One verse, here it is, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God is talking to Joshua. He's about to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And this is what God says. God says to Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. You know, God's got a calling on your life that's powerful. But the only way that we can grab a hold of all that God has for us is if we know his word and we know what to do. We've got to study. We've got to develop spiritual habits so that we can grow. Number one, as we grow when we read God's word. Number two, we grow when we develop spiritual habits. Number three, if you're taking notes, is we grow when we help each other grow. We grow when we help each other grow. You know, it's impossible for you to grow spiritually without the help of other people in your life. Romans chapter 1, verse 12 says, when we get together, this is the Apostle Paul talking to a church in Rome, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. And we grow when we sharpen each other, when we challenge each other. You know that there's 56 different commands in the Bible that are, we call these one another commands. Where God says, love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, challenge one another. All of these different one another commands in the Bible. You know, the only way for you to obey those commands is for you to be in relationship with other believers. You've got to be in relationship with other believers. You know, we get a lot of excuses for why people don't join growth groups. And, you know, we've got probably about 50% of our church is committed to a growth group. They've experienced it. They love it. And our goal is to get everybody into a growth group because we believe in the power of gathering together in small groups. It's so important. But we get a lot of different reasons, you know, time, busy, you know, all these different things. A lot of times we hear, you know, I don't really like being in small groups. You know, sometimes people bother me. They irritate me by what they say. And I say, you know, they feel that way about you also. So that's a joke. Nobody says that about you. You know, the only way that we can grow in our love for one another is if we have an opportunity to love one another. Only way we can encourage one another is if we give each other the opportunity to encourage one another. We have to be in small growth groups if we're going to encourage and pray and love and serve one another, just like the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says this. It says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. And let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. You know, at this point, for the first 300 years of the church, there were no large church buildings. All of the church just met in homes. And so this verse is directed towards people gathering in homes. It's saying, let's not neglect meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. And we've got to be committed to helping each other grow. Let me give you just one more action step, and that's this. Would you commit for 40 days to be a part of a growth group? Maybe you've never done it before, and you just give it a tester. Try it for 1 week and see how it goes. But give it a shot. And I'm telling you, something will happen with your faith. It'll give you an opportunity to pray for, encourage, love on, minister to one another, and it'll strengthen your faith. Number three, we grow when we help each other grow. Last one is this. Why don't you write this in your notes, that we grow when we choose to grow. You know, growth doesn't happen by accident. We don't wake up one day and think, wow, look at my prayer life. This is amazing. We don't wake up one day and lift up our shirt and say, wow, look at that 8-pack. Now, things don't happen by accident. We grow when we choose to grow. How many of you would say that you would love to be just a little bit further along in your lives and the things that matters most at the end of this year? Now we would love to grow. Our marriages would be stronger. Our families would be stronger. Our spiritual connection with the Lord would be stronger. We would all love that. What are you willing to do to get there? Because we only grow when we choose to grow, when we take actions towards growth. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to invest the next 40 days of your life into growing in your spiritual relationship with God? Are you willing to try this experiment with us? 40 days in growth, learning how to pray, learning how to love one another, learning how to invest in community. Are you willing to do that? Action step, the last one is this, is would you choose to grow? Just simple. Would you choose to grow? The truth is that it's so much easier to grow when we grow with other people. It's easier to diet when you diet with other people. It's easier to exercise when you exercise with other people. It's easier to grow when you grow with other people. And the challenge is just simply take this next 40 days and say, God, I'm surrendering this 40 days to you, and I'm willing to take these action steps. I'm willing to take steps forward. I'm willing to develop some spiritual habits so that I can grow in partnership with what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. 40 days. And here's our prayer for every single one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 is this, that our greatest wish and prayer is that you and I will become mature Christians, that when people look at our lives, they see Jesus. And when they see our lives, so just a little bit of Jesus is reflected, that we're emotionally mature like Jesus and spiritually mature like Jesus. And in all of these different ways, we're growing into maturity like Jesus. That's our prayer for every single one of us. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Well, Lord, just as I look across the room, just full of so many people that I love and care about, just what a tremendous community full of amazing people that are passionate about you and for your kingdom. God, I ask that there would just be an incredible sense of anticipation as we enter into these 40 days of prayer and developing new spiritual habits. There would be a great sense of anticipation, and that there would be no sense of guilt or like I've never been able to do that in the past, or I've tried that and I failed. There would be no sense of that, but that from this day forward, going forward, we're going to pursue and take the steps that you have put right in front of us, that we would grow as you show us how to grow. There'd be no sense of condemnation, but just anticipation that your Holy Spirit is going to do great things in our lives. God, we invite that. And we know that there are many of us that are on the mountaintop and life is great and we're ready to go forward. But there's others of us that are in the valley and we're experiencing tremendous difficulties, some tremendous amounts of pain. And God, we ask that you would meet us there and cause us to fix our eyes on you and just that we would take the steps that you lay out for us, Lord. For all of us, there would be an incredible sense of anticipation for the future. I truly believe that the best is yet to come for each and every one of us and for Gateway Church. Father, we're so grateful for the work that you're doing in our lives, and we love you more than anything that this world has to offer. In Jesus' great name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.